couple other forward notes from me, and then, you know, maybe we can switch over to the defense and goaltending. But on Frederick, should also note, he didn't get an assist on Marchand's winning goal, but he's the one in on the forecheck who frees that puck up for Heinen. So, you know, just another mark on the positive on his night. And also on Marchand, we talked about that line. They still saw a lot of Austin Matthews in that game. Like, that was a matchup the Bruins wanted on home ice. And the Leafs didn't try to get that matchup. And, you know, it wasn't a strict matchup. But they also didn't seem to make a ton of effort to avoid it. So they still end up with a lot of time against each other. And Marchand and Matthews were on the ice together at 5-on-5 for 5:46 last night. Shot attempts were 14-3 Bruins. Shots on goal, 8-1 Bruins during those minutes. Just like an absolutely decisive win after obviously a game in game two where, you know, it seemed like Matthews could do whatever he wanted and Bruins had no answers. And you're like, oh my God, can they possibly contain him? Well, one game later, they not only contained him, they really just hemmed him in his own zone for most of the night and totally won that matchup.
Yeah, basically. And that was something that coach talked about after game two, was like, well, you can't let them play in the offensive end of the ice or it's going to bite you. So you got to just do those simple things to keep them in the other end. And even if you're not getting the most high quality chances at that point in time, you just got to keep possession away from them and keep them from transitioning. I think the Bruins did have some more struggles in transition again in game three, which is something can definitely work on for game four. My last thought about the forward group, which by the way, I guess I have a few little ones. Pat Maroon, what did we think of Pat Maroon?
I mean, I don't know what more he could do given the recent surgery and the lack of playing time he's had in the role they're asking of him. I think he almost had a goal against Samsonov, but again, no one's looking for him to be a goal scorer. Maybe he can chip in like everybody else is expected to here and there, but just to quickly answer your question, Bridget, I've actually been quite impressed with how quickly he has gotten up to speed coming off of back surgery and heading right into the playoffs, essentially. And has he dropped the gloves yet? No. Does he need to? No, he's there in case you have to, not to initiate. And obviously Max Domi, who, by the way, I thought of a great
chase him. He did chase him down when Domi hit Swayman.
He did, but I thought of a great chirp last night. If anybody in the media asks Marchand at some point about Domi as a player or like what he thinks of Domi in this series, something like that, like Marchand could like say something along the lines of, I mean, yeah, he's so many teams around the league know how good he is. He's played for so many teams. Just like a way to like, you know, compliment him back in the compliment.
Something
like that could be put on a platter for Marchand. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so many teams in the league know what he can do. He's played for so many teams. But that's why Maroon's there, right? And so, Scott, I don't know if you had anything else to add on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's definitely times where you notice that he's slow. Like, he just is. You know, he's never been particularly fleet of foot. Now he's 35 and he's coming off back surgery. So, yeah, there's going to be times where he can't quite catch a defenseman or get in on the forecheck on time. But I still think he's mostly been a plus this series, and that line has been good and they've been an asset in the series and he's part of it. So, you know, like you do see it on Twitter, you know, like people are like, Maroon can't skate. Like why is he out there or whatever? And it's like, all right. But when he is in like behind the net and deep in the offensive zone, he still holds on to pucks. He's still physical. He still hits people. He does get pucks up when they come up the wall to him in the defensive zone, which
yes,
we know how important that is in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So like he's doing all that stuff. And to your point, Brian, like, I don't know how much more you expect or could it possibly ask mm-hmm. from him. As long as that line remains a positive, which it's definitely been in the series, you know, he's staying in my lineup.
I'm glad you brought up those points, because that's what I've noticed specifically to your question, Bridget. Scott just answered it perfectly. Like, he's never been a fast skater. He's never going to be one. So
his nickname is Big Rig.
Right. So
I don't tend to win many races with sports cars, last I checked. But
so when I'm watching him, I'm not watching him for speed. I'm watching the little things. Is he getting the puck out of his zone? Yes. Is he holding on to pucks and using his size? All those things Scott just said. So yeah, I think it's, like I said, it's been impressive to go from zero to 100 right into the NHL playoffs is not an easy thing at all. Back surgery.
Yeah, I don't.
Or maybe like 0 to 55. What does a Big Rig get up to?
On the highway? Ooh, it takes a while, but he might.
He's like when you get stuck behind an excavator, a construction vehicle on a main road when they're moving from site to site.
Oh God! All right, so my last point about forwards, which also will transition to defense. I put up a few polls last night. I was on the Skate Pod Twitter. So I just wanted to gauge where people thought certain things. And this one was, should Laurie and JVR stay in for game 4? And I had 4 different answers. I said, yes, keep both. No, both out. Only Laurie or only JVR. And a majority of people, 58%, said, yes, both should stay in. And there was even more support for JVR. So, yeah, I want to get your opinion. Do you think, and I want to start with JVR and then we'll go to Laurie and then we'll go to defense. So Van Riemsdyk, did he do what he needed to do? And my main thing for him and why I think he should stay in is that even though he didn't finish last night, he gets a breakaway or Lauko gets a breakaway. Who's more likely to score?
Well, JVR, but also
who's more likely to score in front of the net?
JVR.
And you go through all these scoring like situations and you're like, I'd rather have him out there for those.
Well, and here's the biggest reason why I would keep him in the lineup, because those hypotheticals you just mentioned wouldn't happen for Lauko. I don't think you see Jacob Lauko get sprung for 2 breakaways in the game. I don't think you see Lauko. Like, so even the ability to put himself in those situations, JVR has over Lauko. And even when Lauko was in the lineup, it was no secret. I mean, we've been saying all along, Lauko is not a third line player. I didn't think he was playing poorly. He was just bringing something that should be on most fourth lines, and the Bruins needed more scoring threats up and down the lineup. And so I would keep him in.
Yeah. He had a couple chances right around the net. Like, you know, I know he had one deflection that went just high. And then, I don't know if it was Heinen or like someone had a put back chance. He had a rebound chance, and yeah, you know, at some point he's gonna bury one or two of those. Like, obviously, goal scoring at times for Van Riemsdyk has been a problem this year too. He's had a lot of looks around the net front and hasn't been able to bury them. So,
still more likely than Lauko to do it.
Right. He's more likely to bury them, and to Brian's point, he's more likely to get them in the first place. So I'll still. Yeah, like I'll keep the guy as long as he's keeping up and you don't notice him like being way behind the play.
Which you didn't.
No, I'll keep him in the lineup because all it takes in the playoffs like to win a game or swing a series is he just buries one of those. And so I'll keep him in and take my chances on that. And yeah, Lauko brings some things I like too with his speed and the way he gets in on the forecheck. Physicality. He drew 2 penalties in the first 2 games. Like, let's not ignore that. So it's not like a completely lopsided decision. I think it's close, but I just think for a Bruins team that was looking for more offense and specifically on a third line role, JVR is going to be more likely to deliver than Lauko. So yeah, I would keep him in.
Only 18% of people thought that he should be out. So kind of tells you what people thought of the potential there. And then the other side is Laurie. So there were actually more people that thought Laurie should come out than JVR. Though, like I said, majority of people think both should stay in. Did Laurie provide enough positive over what Matt Grzelcyk was struggling with, despite the mistakes that we saw him make and the obvious times where it's like, okay, that's a rookie pinch right there. That is not the right move to make in this situation. Like, do the pros outweigh the cons for him over Grizzlick?
Okay, so thinking back on the game, I believe he was called for two penalties, and the cross check in front of the net, I thought, was an incredibly weak call. Happens all game, every game in the playoffs. The hook at the end of the game, towards the end of the game, again, it's like, it's a weak call, but it's a call that, like, you see them make sometimes. So I'm not going to criticize him too much because, like, though he's engaged. He's like, the cross check was, again, like, he's defending the front of the net.
And where, it's Bertuzzi, and it's Bertuzzi, and he does go down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So those penalties are not reasons why I would take him out. There were two plays over the course of the game where he got away with two mistakes, and I would keep him in the lineup, show him the film, and allow him to learn. And those mistakes were, you alluded to it, Bridget. There was a pinch earlier on in the game that you got to know who you're on the ice against. And he pinched, and Austin Matthews takes the puck down the right wing boards on a 2-on-1. McAvoy takes the passer and gives Swayman the shot, and Matthews hit the post. So got away with that one. And then obviously the turnover to Max Domi right before the game winning goal by Marchand, where if Domi just wrapped it around a second earlier, it's a goal. I don't know why he waited the way he did. So two mistakes that could have been costly that weren't. So the question is, do you just show him the film and let him learn from it? I would, and I would keep him in the lineup, but I don't want to gloss over those because they could have been costly, but
yeah,
I net positive, I think, just because they didn't cost them. So
the Matthews shot that got off because the pinch was the one that really concerned me. The penalties, obviously, those are, you got to look at the tape on that, and there are adjustments he could make with those penalties if that's how the game's going to get called, and it, or just to not even risk it in the first place. It's the playoffs, and they have a good power play, even though they didn't score on it last game. There was one other good play that I there was some positives I wanted to talk about too, though. Like, that JVR breakaway was set up by a long distance pass by Lauri. He has good vision, and I know Grizzlick is a pretty good transition player as well. But what I noticed about Grizzlick in the first two games was that he was having a harder time transitioning when he was under pressure, and when, like, because he's small and he was turning pucks over on the breakout. And Lauri didn't seem to be having the same issues. So he made a good pass. We know he can do that. And he's not going to get bumped off the puck as much as Grizzlick is.
Yeah. And, you know, another area of the transition game, Montgomery talks a lot about defensemen taking center ice in transition. What he means is driving through the middle when that's what's open. And Lauri did that a couple times too, where he was the one kind of leading the rush up the middle and either taking the zone entry or dishing over to the wing for someone to enter. So I would keep him in as well. Obviously, he does have to clean up those mistakes. You know, that pinch, it might not have been a bad, like, he actually got to the puck first, but then he loses the battle. So it's like, if you're going to pinch, great, you know, hey, he got there, but then, like, you got to be stronger and keep the puck moving forward, not lose it, have it turn back around on you. So I can't say I'm going to give him, like, a super long leash and he's in the rest of the series. You know, if game four comes and he makes those mistakes again or takes a couple more penalties, like, then he might be out game five. But there was enough positives in game three that I would keep him in and show him the mistakes, talk to him about it.
Oh, yeah.
Hope he cleans it up. And if he does, then he stays in.
He's going to watch a lot of film today, I think.
What do you guys say to fans who would like to see Lauri stay in the lineup and Grizzlick, and Grizzlick comes in lieu of Shattenkirk? Now, I think they like the veteran presence, right? The stability, but there could be people that want both Lauri and Grizzlick in the lineup. What would you say to that?
I'm not super opposed to it, but I worry a little bit how that left side now holds up. If it's, you know, Lauri and Grizzlick as the other two left shot defenders, with Lindholm. Because presumably in that scenario, it's Wotherspoon flipping to his offside. He's the one who's played his offside the most of those left shots. So I'd be a little bit worried about that. With Shattenkirk, I get it. Obviously, that they're clearly limiting his minutes 5-on-5.
He only had 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Total.
Way down. And his power play unit is right now not the one that's been clicking the series. It's been the other unit with McAvoy, Marchand, DeBrusk, Coyle, and Geeky. So
not sure I'd put that on Shattenkirk, though, like that.
No, I don't. And to be clear, like, I still think Shattenkirk's doing some good things. I still think in the offensive zone, to me, like, he is the Bruins' best defenseman at getting pucks through. Mm. And, you know, taking those quick, tippable shots that produce rebounds, like, that is still an asset. And it looks so simple that I think it gets underappreciated sometimes, because it's like, well, if it was that simple, then every Bruins defenseman would be doing it, and not all of them are. So there are things he still deserves credit for. And if you can limit him because other defensemen are playing well enough, like, I absolutely have no issue with Shattenkirk being the sixth defenseman.
Either of you guys at all surprised that Laura came in for game three? Were either of you like, I mean, I know Brian, you wanted him. Scott, you thought that it might have been a little bit too risky. Were you surprised that he made the extra change at D when we thought maybe he was just going to go Wotherspoon in for the injured player peak to decide to go to Lauri as well?
I was a little bit. Only because, I don't think Grizzlick played very well in game two, but I also didn't really think Grizzlick had done anything that cost you. I mean, he hadn't been on the ice for a goal against. Like, the Leafs hadn't scored with Grizzlick on the ice. So you can't sit here and be like, oh, he was such a liability. And it's like, well, I don't know. Every other defenseman was on the ice for goals against, and he wasn't. That said, like, you could see where areas where he was struggling. And in Toronto, you can't hide him as much. So I get that. So I guess I was a little surprised, but like not shocked.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. And again, it's never been anything against Grizzlick. It's just that I don't think the playoffs is a time to necessarily be conservative. And I just think that Lauri brings an element to that back end that helps your 5-on-5 offense. And it can't be overstated that your offense starts from your back end. And they look stagnant 5-on-5, even in parts of game one. So yes, to your point, Bridget, I was expecting, obviously, Wotherspoon in for peak, the 1-for-1. Was I expecting the second one, the second personnel change back there? No, I wasn't expecting it because, you know, I've grown accustomed to wanting certain personnel decisions to be made in the Bruins and then them not agreeing with me or fans not agreeing with me. But I've always liked Lauri's upside, and I thought that was a good time. Now, my question in response to you guys is, do you think it's a coincidence that game three playing with Mason Lauri was Charlie McAvoy's best game of the series? And I've said all along, I think there's a level of complacency and comfortability when McAvoy plays with Grizzlick or even Lindholm for that matter. But now playing with Lindholm sometimes is difficult because you have two stallions that are together and it's, you kind of defer to the other person at times. And then with Grizzlick, I just think, like I said, complacency and comfortability with McAvoy playing with a rookie in Lauri, you have to be that veteran. You have to be on your toes and be accountable. And I just think there's something to that.
Yeah. I thought McAvoy was good. I wouldn't go so far as to say like, it was a great game for him. Still felt like there were times where I wanted to maybe see a little more, but I definitely don't have any issue with the way he played, and maybe being with Lauri did help him. You know, I think that helps everyone in the ice kind of get forward more. You know, McAvoy's physical. I think he got credited with 7 hits too. And again, even adjusting for Toronto inflation, fine. If you want to call it 5 or 6, then great. Plays over 25 minutes. So you know, I thought really solid five shots on goal. That's actually more than I thought, honestly. Like, I knew he was involved offensively at times. I actually didn't realize he landed five on goal. So that's encouraging as well.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, I want to say it was Charlie McAvoy's best game as a Bruin, but I think saying he had a good game is a little light. I think he definitely played a better game than a good game. Subjective, but that's just what I saw. A question for you guys. This is a concern I've had with the Bruins, and I think it's a concern for every NHL team. But with the Bruins in particular, I noticed, not so much last night, but game two for sure, game one, and a lot of times in the regular season, what can the Bruins do better when they are playing in the period or periods where they have a long change? It depends on what arena you're in. Depends on where your bench is configured, but all teams probably struggle with having a long change from the defensive zone because you get stuck out there. You can't change as easily. What can the Bruins do when they're defending furthest away from their bench to avoid shifts where you're getting trapped in your D zone?
Good question. You know, I feel like at times they need someone to make an aggressive defensive play, like really come out and attack someone, because I do think, you know, I think they're usually pretty aggressive, like on retrievals and trying to get the puck out quick. But then it feels like sometimes when they don't do that and the other team actually gets set up, they sag back a little bit and turn it and go into like protect the house mode, where it's like, all right, you have the puck, you're set up in the O-zone, we're just not going to give you grade A chances. And I do think part of that's just their strategy. Like, I think that's just how they play, but that is what can lead to those longer shifts where the opponent just keep cycling around. And it's like, eventually, if you don't kill the play at some point, like, you're going to get tired. I don't care how packed in you are, or, you know, not really chasing the play, like, you're going to get tired if a team has the puck in your zone for a minute 15. So maybe just like a little more aggressive in defensive zone coverage, and a little more willingness to come out and challenge that cycle rather than just kind of pack it in and you know, just being worried about like that grade A area.